Hello out there to all you people on the go and multitaskers everywhere. This is Homeschool Mom Movie Maven, and this review is on Ant-Man and the Wasp. My short take is that this movie is about a bunch of flawed, selfish characters and a plot full of holes. But then again, even faulty Marvel hero films are fun. If you do go, stay for two important end credit scenes. Who should go? I'd advise parental discretion here. There is a lot to commend it as a fun action adventure, but while Ant-Man is the character's altruistic and focused on his family, the Pyms, represented by the Wasp, are selfish and unconcerned about the damage they do to others. And there is a sprinkling of mild cuss words as well as one very inappropriate, very strong profanity, especially for a child's film, uttered by Hank in a moment of stress. Here's my long take. Before I start my review, let me just say that I liked Ant-Man and the Wasp. The story and characters are flawed, as I mentioned, but like the oddly cut and hard to place piece in a jigsaw puzzle, it fits into its own little niche. And keep in mind, I've tried not to spoil, but there are references that inevitably imply things, so be warned. The Pyms, Hank and Hope, are played by Michael Douglas and Evangeline Lilly. They are the singularly most flawed, enhanced individuals in the Marvel Universe. I don't call them heroes because during the course of the entire movie, they don't do one single heroic thing. Lang, played by Paul Rudd, and his ex-cons are another story, as they risk their lives, their livelihood, and their freedom to help the Pyms. Outside of Loki and the before meeting the Ancient One Doctor Strange, the Pyms are the most selfish good guys we've met. Strange, Doctor Strange, reforms, and Loki is at least witty and has spectacular style. Even Thanos thinks what he's trying to do is for the good of the universe and is willing to make personal sacrifices for others no matter how colossally and tragically misguided Thanos' intentions are. Even Deadpool! While admittedly Deadpool has an agenda of vengeance, his goal is to take out bad guys, which is to the benefit of innocents everywhere. And he is willing to sacrifice his own otherwise potentially immortal life for a kid he hardly knows. Now, when Deadpool is a better moral example than the Pyms, you know the Pyms have some serious issues. The premise of Ant-Man and the Wasp concerns the Pyms, who are trying to retrieve Janet Pym, played by Michelle Pfeiffer, the wife of Hank and the mother of Hope. She's been trapped in the quantum realm for 3 decades, having been lost during a mission to disarm a nuclear weapon. To accomplish her rescue, the Pyms kidnap Scott from his house 3 days before he'll have to serve his full term. Scott, if you need your memory jogged, was sentenced for his participation in the events of Captain America's Civil War. When the Pyms kidnap Scott and remove him from his house, they make him violate his house arrest, and they put Scott at risk of being thrown in jail for the next 20 years. Given that Scott has a young daughter, the Pyms are not only playing with Scott's life, but his daughter's future. During the course of the movie, the Pyms shrink and enlarge everything from cars to buildings to Pez dispensers and humans. In the real world, many of these activities, especially when accomplished during car chases on busy highways and in populous areas, would have resulted inevitably in the collateral deaths of many bystanders. All of this carnage happens in order to rescue one adult human who, though lost performing a heroic act 3 decades before, voluntarily, knowingly what would happen, went into the mission. While Hank and Hope's goal is admirable, the lengths to which they go are not. I understand why they do what they do, but it does not justify their actions. There is a biblical truism which warns that no goal, no matter how good, can be justified with even a single evil act. While granting that rule must be temporized with common sense, someone committing even a small sin to further the noblest goal would still have to take responsibility for their actions. And there is no doubt that wreaking havoc on an entire city and putting hundreds, if not thousands, of other people's lives in danger for the benefit of a single person is neither a small sin nor an admirable plan. Hope Pym is another in a growing list of tiresome, condescending, feminist, I-can-do-anything-better-than-you-can chip on their shoulder, self-absorbed female characters which have most notably reared their ugly heads in the Star Wars franchise, as well as movies like Ocean's 8. All that being said, Ant-Man and the Wasp is kind of obviously, even from the title, a fantasy science fiction. If we can keep that in mind, for the sake of this review, and the fantasy in which such stories live, let us presume that at least no innocent person by some miracle was harmed during the course of the movie. If you think that's absurd, then consider that we are discussing a movie wherein the characters can shrink themselves down to the quantum level size and enlarge themselves to the height of tall buildings in a moment and with no permanent ill effects, and can ride on ants. Moving forward from there, I can safely say that Ant-Man and the Wasp is a fun movie. It is, for the most part, a family-friendly action adventure with a couple of provisions. There is no naughty behavior. Scott Lang has a crew of lovably goofy but well-intentioned fellow ex-cons. Luis, played by Michael Pena, Kurt, played by David Dastmalchian, and Dave, Clifford Joseph Harris, Jr., who is also known as T.I., which is shortened and altered into initials from the nickname Tip that the actor's grandfather gave him. Anyway, Scott and his crew, appropriately enough, run a security company. I mean, who better would know how to stop a thief than another thief? They risk their new business to help the Pims, not to mention their freedom. The dialogue is often tongue-in-cheek, such as when cliché comments are taken literally on purpose and responded to in kind. An example of this silly dialogue, which is played for laughs, is a prolonged and funny discussion between Luis and the villain, played by Sonny, played by Walton Goggins. He is trying to get from Luis whether or not where Scott is. During the interrogation, the bad guy, Sonny, threatens to give Luis a torture drug. Luis then engages Sonny in a long discussion as to whether the truth serum should be torture or not, and engages in a Shrek-style Pinocchio recitation of irrelevancies in response to Sonny asking where Scott is. It's very convoluted. It's sort of like explaining a conversation with the Three Stooges. Little is taken really seriously, so I suppose the car chases and expanding and shrinking buildings and people really shouldn't be a serious problem either. The plot is interesting, especially as there are multiple sets of conflicting interests. The Pims wish to save Janet. Scott wants to help the Pims but stay out of jail. Sonny wants the Pims' tech to sell. Ava, played by Hannah John Kamen, is a ghost-like nemesis that needs the Pym technology to solve her chronic state of quantum flux, which in turn happened during an accident that she blames on Hank Pym, who does not, as a matter of fact, take responsibility for what he did. Foster, played by Lawrence Fishburne, has his own agenda, which is, for the most part, frankly, more noble than either of the Pyms. There is also a Fed, Jimmy Woo, played by Randall Park, who wants to catch somebody, anybody, and the ex-con friends are simply agog to be involved with superhero stuff. Frankly, given all the contrasting interests involved, the only thing that maintains Hank's priority in the plots over the tech is his invention of the tech. Everyone believes their cause is justifiable, but only Sonny is seen as the real bad guy. However, since Scott, the Pims, and their friends are the ones through whose eyes we see the proceedings, they are the ones for whom we are supposed to root. So, we are supposed to ignore when bystanders are put to risk. Okay, so I guess I'm fine with that. That is, after all, this is a science fiction fantasy. Violence is cartoonish, the language is pretty clean, until Hank lets loose with at least one over-the-top profanity I could have done without in a child's movie. For parental discretion, I am always quick to seek information from www.screenit.com. Membership is cheap and well worth it. The rest is what we've come to expect from a Marvel superhero movie, with lots of exciting special effects, which worked really well with 3D, by the way. I'm not normally a big 3D fan, but the flying, fighting scenes were ratcheted up at least a half notch by the glasses. The flashbacks featuring a younger Michelle Pfeiffer were the best I've ever seen, though Douglas suffered from the typical overly smoothed face and peculiar facial expressions common to this cinematographic magic trick. I think the magic trick is saying that word. I think it is something about the mouth that just doesn't look quite right most of the time. I'm not singling out Douglas. I'm aware of his medical issues, and that is not the problem, because this is universal to any time older actors are youthened by CGI. Also, Pfeiffer's character is the point of one of the biggest plot holes. How did she survive for 30 years in a hostile environment with zero resources? She went on impulse. Food, water, bathroom, there's none of that. She aged and referenced being aware of the passage of 30 years. But she didn't even have a pack of cards with her to pass the time. So even presuming she didn't have to eat or drink for whatever reason, how did she manage not to go insane? This is completely glossed over without mention, and I found no precedent for answers, even from the comic book geeks on the internet. Another plot hole that bugged me was the physics, which operated conveniently to the plot. On the one hand, being shrunk seems to afford some survivability not usually possible, like falls and impacts, which would destroy a normal, unshrunk human. This would imply a certain enhanced density. Granted, the suit they wear must help a lot, but does not account for every instance, such as when their helmets are off. If the humans had been tiny but undense, they could have been swatted like fairies or butterflies. Instead, they carry an enormous amount of momentum and punch in fights, while shrunk. This implies the matter is all there but concentrated. On the other hand, Hank can pick up an entire shrunken building, and other people carry it around as though it was made of styrofoam. Even a scale model of a building at that size would have been heavier had it been made of the same unconcentrated steel girders and concrete materials, much less how many thousands of tons it should weigh even in its shrunken but dense state. So which is it? On the positive side, the jokes are funny. Scott doing his best as a father was refreshing, and I enjoyed the lighter tone of the movie, especially since the previous one was Infinity War. However, on that note, and without giving any spoilers, hold on to your seat. Let's just say it is important to sit through all of the credits and that the five screenwriters, Chris McKenna, Eric Summers, Paul Rudd, the Ant-Man himself, Andrew Barrera, and Gabriel Ferrari, as well as director Peyton Reed, were definitely aware of the aforementioned Infinity Wars movie. I mean, talk about a story written by committee. In short, without a scorecard, it is difficult to tell whether the Pyms or Sonny is the bad guy team. The Pyms' goal are exclusively personal, relatively trivial in the grand scheme, considering what they are willing to do to others. Ignore the desperate needs of others like Ava, who is suffering from quantum flux. Casually put the safety and security of Lang's entire family and all his friends at risk by yanking Scott out of his house arrest a mere 3 days before he will be free, and dismissively ignore Hank's possible culpability in Ava's condition, as well as put thousands of innocent bystanders in mortal danger, as I've mentioned before. This is not, and the Wasp is definitely not the best Marvel movie, nor does it try to be, but it does hold its own and find its place in the Marvel Universe. I especially enjoyed the addition of Michelle Pfeiffer's new blood into the mix, and the return of Scott's motley crew of comic convicts. Michael Peña from Collateral Beauty is always a pleasure, especially when he's telling one of his overly convoluted stories. So, you older geeks like me, go see Ant-Man and the Wasp, if for no other reason than to put another puzzle piece into the overall picture that is the Marvel Universe. But I'd see it myself before deciding whether or not to bring impressionable kids. And remember, if you're listening in your car or on an iPhone, you can get the full original review, including pictures and links, at www.homeschoolmommovimaven.com. And take it from a homeschool mom. Education doesn't always have to come from a book. Sometimes it comes from analyzing a small piece of a larger universe.